number for the invitation again?
470.
470, you mark your book there, we'll sing that as a song of invitation following the, this morning. Appreciate Jeremy leading the singing, our song leader, he did show up, but he's under the, a foot problem back there. But we appreciate Jeremy visiting with us, visiting family, Georgia, isn't it? Called on him to lead our singing this morning, appreciate that. Visiting with us, there is an outline in the bulletin, on the back of the bulletin this morning, if you'd like to follow along. Been studying the subject of baptism, this is the third lesson in that series, and it'll continue again next week, because I'm going to look at seven benefits, or seven blessings that the Bible associates with baptism. There's benefits to that. So we're going to look at three of them this morning, Lord willing and time permits. So I already had somebody saying to me already this morning, Brother Rose, that they're leaving at 11:30. Well, I'm pressure's on. But we're so glad you're with us this morning for this particular topic. You're kind of in the middle of it, but I did have a review also. But let's take a look. The purpose of the lesson is that I want you to see the importance of baptism in conversion, in obeying the gospel message. But by definition, and we studied this in previous weeks, baptism, the word baptism by itself means to submerge and emerge. It means to immerse, or to plunge, to dip, or to bury. And the element in which to be baptized in is water. You see, the word baptism by itself doesn't tell you what to be baptized in. If I just gave you something in your hand, like a book or something, I said, well, you go immerse this, you wouldn't know what to immerse it in. Or if I said baptize this, you wouldn't know what to baptize it in. The element is not listed or defined in the word itself. But the Bible defines it for us. For example, in John chapter 3, verse 22. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea. He remained with them and baptized. But I still know, what'd you baptize the people in? John also was baptizing in Nain near Salem. He did it because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. Now we know when you dip or submerge, when the Bible says to be baptized, you are to be immersed or plunged or dipped or immersed in water. In Mark chapter 1, verse 9, the second illustration, came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee to be baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens parting, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Yeah. Then a voice from heaven came from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So we know that when Jesus was baptized, he was in the Jordan. In Acts chapter, the third illustration, in Acts chapter 8, verse 35, Philip, in the Ethiopian, Philip opened his mouth, Scripture, preached Jesus to him. He has a Jesus sermon. Yeah. The Ethiopian was reading from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 53. The Ethiopian wanted to know, of whom does the prophet speak here? And so the scripture, Philip preaches unto him, Jesus. The prophecy was about Jesus. And so they came, when they went down the road, they came to some water. Ah, there's the element. And the eunuch said, what hinders me from being baptized? Well, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He answered and said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. And Philip and the Ethiopian, or the eunuch, went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the Ethiopian, or the eunuch, saw him no more. But the eunuch went on his way rejoicing, having been baptized, following the instructions. The physical description of baptism is also given in Scripture. I don't have to have any doubt about that. And I wonder, what did they do when they were in the water and baptizing? What did they do? They sprinkle some water on their head, or they pick up some water in their hand and pour it over their head? What did they do when they were in the water? Scripture doesn't say yet in those illustrations, but here it is. In Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, Paul said, don't you know, I always like that phrase, when he begins a note saying, don't you know, there's some confidence in this, about what he's about to say. There's some assurance. Don't you know that as many of us that were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? For we were buried with him through baptism into death. Doesn't say, oh, we were sprinkled with him in baptism. Doesn't say, oh, we had water poured over our head in baptism. Doesn't say, oh, we had some water dabbed to our forehead when we were baptized. No. You were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should also walk in newness of life. And that's going to be one of the blessings and the benefits of baptism. It's where new life begins. It completes the birth process. In verses 17 and 18, still of Romans chapter 6, Paul said, but God be thanked that you were, one time, servants of sin. Yet you, say that again, Paul. You obeyed from the heart. I mean, there's a response that I need to make. I mean, there's something that I need to do. Is there a part that I play in this? You obeyed from the heart that, that's another interesting phrase, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. What form? Form? Oh, that takes us back. A form, that model, that example, death, burial, and resurrection, that form, immersed in baptism. Paul said in Colossians 2, verse 12, with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So now that's some information on this subject of baptism. We spent one lesson just dealing with the Great Commission, where Jesus said, go into all the world and hold every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So we noted that verse. Last week, we looked at how Luke records that Great Commission in Luke chapter 24, where Jesus said, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Stay in the city till you receive power from on high. About eight different things in Luke 24 that Jesus said. This is what I want accomplished. 10 days, and then he was ascended into heaven. And remember, 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus was resurrected on the during the Passover season, he spent 40 days of his ministry. Then he gives those last words and he ascends into heaven 10 days later, meaning 50 days after the Passover, the day of Pentecost. And the devout Jews in every nation were gathered there. And so they abided by Jesus' instructions. I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name to all nations, beginning right there. Now, today's lesson, we're going to look at the benefits of baptism. But note first, too, baptism is the last event in the spiritual process. It's the delivery, if you will. The delivery. Now, I didn't number these in your notes, but I know I put the process, the spiritual process of being born again in your notes. For example, number one, new birth begins by hearing the word of God. Now, some of you are so familiar with this, it's old hat, but here it is. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, since you purified your souls, well, that's what I want. I want my soul purified. You purified your souls in obeying the truth, having been born again. Well, there's something about being born again that's tied in with obeying the truth. A response that I need to make. He said, obeying the truth, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, incorruptible. And he identifies, what's that incorruptible seed? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Yeah. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 13, that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that's a good thing. Calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But, oh, wait a minute. Paul has another question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Oh, that's a good question. Now, I like the next question, too. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Half the year, don't you? How can you obey something you haven't heard about? Have to hear. And how can they hear without a preacher or someone to teach or declare? Then second, in this birth process, after you've heard the word of God, in John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said, you'll die in your sins, except you believe that I'm he. You'll die in your sins. Well, there's something more than just hearing, isn't there? Just hearing the word of God didn't make you a child of God. I need to believe. And not just believing doesn't make you a child of God either. Believing by itself, because there's something else. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you so, lest you repent, you shall all in like manner perish. I don't want to perish. I don't want to die in my sins. I want to hear the word of God. I want to believe that message. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For all that come to God, you're going to come to God, must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. I need to believe, too. But Jesus also has that repentance. Repent. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, Peter said, oh, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward you. Oh, the patience of God. God, what are you waiting for? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't want to perish. Well, then he said, but the day of the Lord will come. And then number four in this born-again process, I just read that about the eunuch made a confession of his belief before he was baptized. Remember, Philip asked him, what hinders me from being baptized? Anything stopping me? Anything I lack? He said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Oh, yeah, okay. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And then the story continues with the last action of being born again by being baptized. Verse 38, both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. He baptized him, came up out of the water. You see that growth process? Process of being born again? Began by just that general statement, you need to obey the truth to be born again. That word of truth is not corruptible. It's incorruptible. It's the word of God. So we need to hear that to know what that birth process includes. In Romans 6, verse 4, they're buried with him through baptism. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. When did new life begin? It didn't begin when you just heard the word of God. There's a blessing in hearing. But your new life didn't begin just by hearing. Your new life didn't begin by just believing what you heard or what you read. Your new life didn't begin just because you changed your life through repentance. No. Your new life in Christ didn't begin just because you made a confession. No. Stop the chariot. They both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. Baptism. And then when those things happen, there's newness of life. Newness of life. See, in conversion, thought came to me. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, where Peter and John said to repent and be converted. That your sins may be blotted out, and that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repent, be converted. You see, when you have faith, faith has one thing that it does. It changes your mind from unbelief to belief. It didn't change your life. I know a lot of people that say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but they live a wretched life. Faith is designed to change your mind from unbelief to belief. Repentance changes your life. A lot of people want to live a good life. You know, I'm community-minded. service oriented. And they just think, oh, that's good enough. Repentance changes your life. Belief doesn't change your life. Repentance does. Baptism changes your relationship from being outside of Christ to being in Christ. See? Baptism doesn't do what repentance does. Baptism changes your relationship. Repentance changes your life. Faith changes your mind. I believe. That's the process of conversion. Faith, I say, you change those interchangeably. Faith doesn't put you into Christ. Baptism does. Repentance doesn't put you into Christ. Baptism does. Baptism doesn't change your life. Baptism doesn't cause you to have greater faith. Because some people think, oh, I've been baptized, but their life isn't changed. Baptism doesn't change your life. It changes your relationship. Repentance changes your life. Faith changes your mind from unbelief to belief. You know I won't finish this lesson today. I'm spending too much time thinking about some other things and making sure I pile on the right information. So one of the first blessings of baptism is that it completes the birth process. So now in the baptism has many other blessings. I've listed three of them in your note. There's seven that I'm going to do in this whole lesson. But the first one, just to note, when you're baptized, it's an action or a form tied to the gospel and the cross. It's tied to something. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning of verse 1, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel." All right, the gospel. We'll find out what that is. "I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you're saved." Oh, now let's note some words there. Paul said, "I declare to you the gospel. I preached it. You received it," the gospel. "That gospel is upon which you stand and by which you are saved." I know, what's that gospel? "If you hold fast the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." What's the good news in the gospel? That Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried according to the Scriptures, that he rose again the third day. Wait a minute, something looks like that, doesn't it? Oh, baptism. Baptism. So Paul said that again in Romans 6, verse 3. "Don't you know that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we should walk in newness of life." In the next phrase, "For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, the body of sin might be done away." Oh, when did new life begin? When did you put away that old man? When did you put away that body of sin? Oh, when you heard and believed and repented and you made your confession of faith with those four things in place, you are qualified to be baptized for remission of sins. Rise to walk in newness of life. Number two, the blessing and benefit of baptism is that it's submission to a heavenly authority. Submission to a heavenly authority. I didn't make this up. It wasn't my idea for you to be baptized. It wasn't my idea for us to assemble for worship on Lord's Day morning. Amen. Or Lord's Day. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't my idea to live a Christian life. No, it's a heavenly authority by which we do these things. Why we assemble today. By heavenly authority we observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. By authority, we sing the way we do preach and pray and give. Wasn't my idea. Wasn't any man's idea. In the Great Commission, Jesus said in Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18, it was read to us this morning, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority. Doesn't this have part of authority? He has it all. I can't change that. Can't change it. He has it all. I can't say, oh, Jesus, you missed something over here. No. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all the nations. How are you going to make a disciple? Baptizing them. Because you think it's a good idea? No. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Heavenly authority to be baptized. Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. He said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that doesn't believe shall be condemned. Did you notice the sequence? Preach. You have to hear that word, don't you? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes. How can you believe in? Paul said, remember Romans 10, 14. How can you believe in somebody you haven't heard about? You have to believe. Be baptized. And then what follows? Salvation. The sequence. Sequence. They also, in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter reaches a point in his sermon. He said back in, this on the day of Pentecost, about Jews from every nation. And he said, it reaches a point in verses 20 through 22, he tells his audience, you've crucified the Christ. You've by wicked hands, you've taken and killed or slain the Son of God. In verse 36, he repeats it. He says to them, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. When they heard that, they're cut to the heart. So they heard, now they believe, I'm cut to the heart. I'm convinced I've murdered the Messiah. I've crucified the Christ. So they stopped his sermon. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter with the other apostles said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name, the authority, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise. And to your children. And all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, I wish I knew what he said. He testified and exhorted, he encouraged them to obey this gospel and good news message. Testified, exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Verse 41 says, those that gladly received his word were baptized. Baptized. There were added to them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. Verse 47 said, the Lord added to them daily those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Verse 41. Those who gladly received his word and were baptized. See, baptism has heavenly authority. We didn't make it up. Wasn't my idea. Wasn't any man's idea. No council came up with this idea. No synod. No convention, no committee, no majority rule, nobody with what I think is best. No, heavenly authority. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next week, Lord willing, I'll take you through number four, the remission of sins. And then number four, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I'm listing about four things that are four benefits of receiving that Holy Spirit because you were baptized. And then number five, the gospel, and you believe it, and you're baptized, you're saved. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And then in baptism, we're added to the body, the church. And then being baptized, 3:27, we're baptized into Christ and put on Christ. So I've listed at least in this sermon, at least seven benefits or blessings in being baptized. But that's the last event in that birth process. Hear, believe, hear the word of God. Don't hear just anything. hear the word of God, believe it, turn your life around, make your confession of faith, and then be baptized. You rise to walk in newness of life. At the close of every lesson, we extend that invitation to you. If you've not done so already, you've not obeyed that good news gospel message, you have that opportunity. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. If that's your desire, just simply let your request be made known at the close of this lesson. So let's stand together. We'll sing this song of encouragement. What number again, Jeremy?
470.
Number 470. Yeah, if that's your desire, that's your resolve, please. Let